pointing to the fringe of the clearing close by the pool. Ryan looked and saw a small deer standing stock still, almost invisible among the dancing shadows. Its delicate feet were hidden in the long grass, the narrow head focusing on the two intruders. The boy mimed drawing a blaster, aiming it and squeezing a trigger, then rubbing his stomach with a comical expression of hunger fully satisfied. Ryan shook his head. There was a time to kill. This wasn't it. The mountains were teeming with game, and when they next wanted to eat, it would only take a few minutes to shoot something for the pot. To wantonly butcher the young deer would have been to desecrate the beauty of the quiet place. With a cold shock, Ryan was suddenly aware that the clearing had become even quieter. The piping of the birds that had been swooping overhead, etching their silhouettes against the azure sky, had stopped. The whole forest had fallen quiet. Now there was a silence that was broken only by the faint sounds of the cooking fire. Dean had caught it as well, his eyes turning nervously toward his father. Ryan drew the Sig Sauer, touching it to his lips in a warning gesture to the boy. The deer had been drinking from the pool, its long neck arched. Now it had stopped, its head lifted, brown eyes open wide. Ryan started to stand when his eye caught the flicker of movement. There, in a pool of spilled sunlight at the edge of the clearing, death stood poised and waiting. Ryan's mind flashed back to the redoubt that he'd visited only a few days ago, to the row of machines that he'd seen in a dim, dusty hall. 5 humanoid robots standing patiently, legs slightly bent at the knees, their arms dangling at their sides. They were no more than 5 feet tall, built mainly from rods of chromed steel. They still gleamed in the overhead lights, untarnished by the passing of long, solitary years. Their heads were polished domes, with small crystals set in place of eyes. These were dull and lifeless. Below them was the android equivalent of a mouth, a metallic slit, half open, with a hint of teeth within. Was there a sharpness there? It was impossible to tell. Their necks were tubular, articulated, like the small scales of a serpent. Their chests were armored, broad, containing all the computer controls. Each arm was slightly longer than a human's would be, in proportion to its height, giving the robots the appearance of an orangutan, slouching toward eternity. One arm ended in 3 digits. 2 of these digits were like pincers with honed edges. The third was a clubbing hammer. The other arm terminated in 4 sharp blades, their points winking like needles. The droid's legs were a little shorter than those of a man, ending in flexible platforms, each tipped with shorter versions of the finger knives. They were the ugliest creations that Ryan had ever encountered.
Wouldn't like to meet you guys in a dead-end street at night.
Ryan had been about to turn away, but a fallen notice captured his attention. Part of his concentration was focused on the quintet of stunted robots, and he ignored the red line and the warning painted on the floor. He stepped across it and bent to pick up the large card. Far away, one of the 5 dark panels on a control console became illuminated with a single word: Activate. The card was creased, its corners dog-eared and bent. The writing was covered in dust, and Ryan wiped it clear with his sleeve, his forehead wrinkling as he followed the faded printing. It was headed with a single line in maroon capital letters: Sec Hunters. Underneath, there was an explanation, as though the 5 creatures had been exhibits in some sort of military museum. Developed in the 90s using the latest cybernetic technology, the Sec Hunters were the most sophisticated devices known to man, and were years ahead of any comparable machinery from the Eastern Bloc. They sniffed out the genetic body pattern of their prey. Once locked onto that one individual, they would follow and destroy, even if it would take them to the ends of the known world. Nothing short of total destruction would divert them from their lethal purpose. On that distant console, another block of screens had lighted under the heading of genetic recording. 3 of the androids had already been destroyed, narrowly thwarted in their lethal pursuit of the human life form known as Ryan Cotter. But all of the information about his genetic makeup was irrevocably programmed into the core of their linked gestalt computer souls. A 4th robot had malfunctioned, though Ryan had no way of knowing that. Now, the last of the Sec Hunters had pursued him, following by the merest luck via the last destination button on the Matrans gateway. emerging some distance behind Ryan and his son into the blistering heat of New Mexico. Like a wasp in summer, it now had no possibility of returning. It would slay Ryan Carter, then its own functions would cease only a second or so after his life was ended. That was how it would be. The techno creature that stood among the thimbleberry bushes bore little relationship to the polished exhibit that Ryan had first encountered in the forgotten depths of the far northern redoubt. One of the red eyes glowed like a ruby fire, but the other was flat dead. Its mouth was open, and something moved quickly within it, from side to side, like a razor. It took a hesitant step toward them, its head turning slowly from side to side, as though it were checking out the boy and the motionless deer. Ryan noticed that it seemed a little unsteady. The once glittering carapace of hardened chromed steel was now dented and smeared with dirt. One arm was making strange twitching motions, the pincers continually snapping open and shut. Ryan noticed that this android had a number stamped into its right shoulder, a neat, geometric number 5. In the nightmare battles against the previous three techno-assassins, there had never been time to spot something like that. Now, in bright sunlight, it was very clear. There was a tiny consolation in knowing that this was the last of them. Dean had stood, drawing the big Browning, glancing across at his father, waiting to be told how they were going to play this one. The deer still hadn't moved, seeming hypnotized by the appearance of the metal android.
Bullets won't stop it unless we hit something vital.
Now that it had reached the climax of its pursuit, the droid seemed lethargic. There was the clearing between them, then the large deep pool. The trees were thick around the edges of the open space, and Ryan wasn't sure that he and Dean could outrun the lethal creature. And in his heart, he didn't honestly think he wanted to.
Come on, you dumb fuck. Let's end this right here.
Ryan smiled grimly at the futility of talking to a heartless collection of wires and circuits.
Why don't we run different ways? Can't get us both.
It'll take one of us. It's best to try to chill it together.
It was still moving, lifting the left foot up and then setting it down. The servo motors hummed, and the right foot repeated the action, slowly. Its arms were spreading like grotesque wings, telescoping outward to cover any attempt to break past it. The hammer suddenly whirred around at fantastic speed, and Ryan readied himself to duck, in case it propelled it at him. The motion stopped, as unexpectedly as it had started.
Could swim for it, Dad!
You're full of ideas, son. I told you. I want to finish it here and now. Concentrate, Dean. Watch for the moment, and then grab it.
Ryan took two slow steps to one side, planting his feet, keeping his balance on the shifting carpet of pine needles. The android's head jerked toward him, and it altered its direction.
Go the other way, Dean. I want to see what it does.
At the boy's movement, the head twitched back to follow him, but the body kept on its inexorable progress toward its programmed prey. Ryan had a flash of hope that its terminal malfunction might happen now. There would be a flash of sparks and grinding of gears, and it would fall over only inches from him. But he had lived long enough to be certain that things like that only happened in stories. He backed away, toward the fringe of the lake, his eyes never leaving the killer droid as it moved after him.
Why not blast it, Dad?
There's no need to whisper. It could hear you, but it sure can't understand what you say. It's armored. It'd have to be a fluke if you hit anything real vital. By then, it's on you.
The droid clicked into murderous overdrive. Both arms started to revolve in opposite directions. The needle blades and the toes went in and out so fast that the movement was only a glittering blur.
Get out of the way!
Dean ran a few steps farther to his left, then stopped, crouching and leveling his own blaster, bracing his wrist as JB had shown him. It was like facing a madman, a crazed lunatic with ungodly strength, triple speed, and high-tech weapons. For a moment, the hunter droid waited like a fighting bull, pawing the ground before the last charge. Then it began its rush. Ryan opened fire at the middle leg joints, seeing sparks fly and hearing the bullets scream off into the trees. Dean also opened fire, more slowly, having to re-aim after each heavy kicking explosion of the Browning. One of his shots came within a finger's width of taking out the robot's only functioning eye. As Ryan powered himself toward the water, the young deer, terrified, broke for safety. With one eye gone and propelling itself over the treacherous ground at an unsafe speed, the droid was distracted by the flash of movement from the panicked animal. Hardly pausing, it swung the clubbing hammerhead at the deer, catching it a glancing blow across the side of the neck. The force was enough to knock the animal to the dirt in a tangle of kicking hooves. The droid swooped down on it, battering at the helpless creature as though it were its target. Ryan thought it was probable that the first strike had butchered the fragile animal, breaking its neck. None of the bullets seemed to